This is Free Speech Radio News for Friday, May 5th, 2000. I'm Max Pringle. Coming up, Argentine workers begin a general strike to protest laws that would cripple worker protection. As Mexicans celebrate Cinco de Mayo, scores of wrongly accused men languish in prison in the southern state of Oaxaca. And Pacifica suffers a defeat in a California courtroom. All this and more this week on Free Speech Radio News. Organized labor in Argentina began a national strike today to protest new laws that activists say are anti-worker. The strike is the latest in a string of rowdy protests by unions and comes just 5 months into the new administration of President Fernando de la Rúa. From Buenos Aires, Travis Lee reports.
President de la Rúa has made the unpopular labor reforms his central goal since he presented them in February. The new legislation, which is certain to get final congressional approval next week, weakens labor laws in the interest of attracting more international investment and creating jobs. The package extends trial periods for new workers from 1 month to up to a year, creating more unstable temporary employment. In some cases, it allows companies to negotiate directly with their workers or with local unions instead of accepting industry-wide standards set by national unions. Hugo Moyano is the head of the Teamsters and leader of a larger umbrella union. He says the legislation means lower salaries for Argentines and represents a capitulation to international business.
When there are demands from people in need, the government doesn't have the budget for it. But when the International Monetary Fund asks, it immediately complies strictly with the IMF mandate.
The government is taking measures to ensure that strikers, which include powerful unions like metal workers, teachers, state employees, and mechanics, don't block roads and work sites. Government officials like Interior Minister Federico Storani want to avoid a bloody clash like the one that occurred last month when police repressed demonstrators with water cannons and gunfire.
Of course, anyone who doesn't want to go to work can do that, but those who do want to go to work cannot be prevented by force or by violent circumstances from meeting their obligations.
Unions say that the national strike is the beginning of a new campaign for worker protections. In Buenos Aires, I'm Travis Lee for Free Speech Radio News.
Today, millions of Mexicans celebrate Cinco de Mayo, which commemorates an important 19th century victory of Mexican forces over the French. But at the dawn of the 21st century, a new battle is taking place in the southern state of Oaxaca, where dozens of men, wrongly accused of being members of a rebel band, continue to be imprisoned. Lee Ribardos has more from Oaxaca.
In Oaxaca City's main square, a military band goes through the daily ritual of taking down and folding Mexico's flag. Seated a few feet away under the awning of the municipal building are indigenous Zapotec women who have put up a giant banner calling for the return of their lost husbands. These women are from the community of Los Icha, high in the Sierra Madre cloud forests, but they have been living here in the city plaza for 2 years and 10 months in an attempt to draw attention to the fact that their husbands have been imprisoned, falsely accused of being members of an armed guerrilla group, they say.
La gente que, por ejemplo, el presidente municipal que es nombrado por el pueblo.
Nestora Ramirez Ruiz is one of the daughters of Los Icha involved in the struggle here in the state capital. As one of the few from the village who speaks Spanish, she has taken the role of spokesperson for the women. Ramirez says there are still 89 men in prisons around the state out of the 130 originally taken. She says the men disappeared after the citizens marched on the municipal president's office demanding the things they were promised: roads, lights, water, schools, and clinics. Ramirez says the problem started when a group of caciques, or powerful men, from another community opened stores in their town.
Already the people in the same communities have worked for them, and at times the caciques don't pay the amount we say. Then they ask for things on credit from the stores if they don't have the money at the time, and then the agricultural workers don't have money to pay them back, so they give the caciques their land, and each day the caciques have more land and more power.
Ramirez says once the people saw this system of sharecropping, they struggled to replace the officials who favored the caciques. They installed a municipal president who answered to them and who began to open roads and do other projects. But the caciques didn't like him, so they tried a number of ways to get back into power.
They couldn't, so the appearance of this armed group in the state was the perfect pretext to ask the central government to bring in the army. Since that day, there has been repression of our communities, and the army is still there.
Ramirez says some of the men disappeared for 9 months before their families found them in different prisons around the state.
When they found them, they were totally white because they had been locked up, tied up, and they couldn't see. And the same gunmen from the Los Ica region were menacing them, saying they could kill them. They made them sign blank sheets of paper for their confessions and gave them electrical shots on different parts of their bodies.
In Oaxaca City, Alicia Mesa sits in the office of the Oaxaca Network for Human Rights. Mesa says the torture in Oaxaca is similar to that found in the neighboring state of Guerrero, with electrical shocks, dunkings, and the showing of lineup photos of people in civil society who the victims are supposed to implicate.
The case of the Los Ica women is very sad for the Oaxacan society. You have the formation of a paramilitary group called the Deliverers, who accompanies the judicial police and says who supposedly is in the People's Revolutionary Army guerrilla group. They detain the people, and there has been torture. In various cases, the torture is related to the army's torture.
Es muy relacionada con el patrón de tortura del ejército.
Mesa also says journalists and civic organization leaders were kidnapped in 1996 and 97 and tortured in this same distinct way and then returned. She says these and other mechanisms are used to keep up the psychological pressure, and she complains the State Human Rights Commission only makes recommendations on 2 or 3% of the complaints of torture. Roberto Lopez Anchez of the official State Human Rights Commission in Oaxaca says his agency receives very few complaints of torture, only 34 out of 1,400 human rights complaints in the last 6 months.
In some cases, when people make accusations of torture, in reality, they are referring simply to threats or violations that don't technically constitute torture. In some cases, the commission has determined that torture effectively exists because of blows, wounds, and threats which have been used to obtain a confession for a crime. In a case like this, the commission has made recommendations.
Lopez says the commission has worked closely with the women of Los Ica and the prisoners and has succeeded in getting better conditions and attention for the prisoners. But recently, the Los Ica women have left the Oaxaca state capital and brought their sit-in to the doors of the federal government in Mexico City, where they're trying to get a hearing for their grievances. Mesa says this fits in with the election year pattern in Mexico, where various groups, such as the National University Strikers, try to talk to the government, but there is always a hardening of the government's position. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Lee Robartas in Oaxaca, Mexico.
Federal agents removed more than 160 protesters this week from a U.S. Navy bombing range on the island of Vieques, off the coast of Puerto Rico. A year ago, the protesters moved into the area soon after an errant bomb killed a civilian guard on the range, sparking long simmering anti-Navy resentment among the island's 9,300 inhabitants. The Navy has tested weapons there for decades, causing large-scale environmental damage and soaring cancer rates. I spoke with Luis Nieves Falcón, coordinator of the Puerto Rican Committee on Human Rights. He says the agreement between Puerto Rico's governor and the feds falls way short of the protesters' demands for an immediate end to the bombings.
It allowed for a continuation of the bombing, claiming that the Navy would leave the island in 3 years, but that the Navy would monitor a referendum whereby the people could decide upon two things: whether the Marines, whether the Navy would continue indefinitely practicing and using live ammunition, or whether the Navy should live in 3 years, and during those 3 years practice with inactive bullets. When this came out, naturally the people were very annoyed and angry in a sense.
Tell me a little bit about what you expect to happen after the Marines come in and make arrests, do you expect the government and the Navy to live up to its responsibilities and begin to start phasing out the operations there?
Well, in the 80s, the Navy made some commitments, and they violated all the commitments that they made to the people of Puerto Rico. Since this is in the hands of the politicians, and you know that politicians cannot be trusted, North Americans or Puerto Ricans, to me, it's the same. And the fact that the Navy is the one in charge of monitoring the referendum, and that one officer of the Navy, in an impromptu conversation, said that the Navy was taking its time to make the referendum until they could distribute $40 million among the Vieques people to assure that they would back the position of the Navy. No one in Puerto Rico trusts the Navy.
Luis Nieves Falcón, coordinator of the Puerto Rican Committee on Human Rights. Some 130,000 commercial actors walked off the job this week to protest what they call the ad industry's unfair labor practices. Many actors say that unlike their better-paid film and sitcom colleagues, commercial actors aren't making a living wage. Robin Yurovich reports from Los Angeles.
The 130-some thousand actors who walked off their jobs this week are not exactly famous. And even though their voices or faces may be well-known, their work hasn't made them rich. Joe Bays, who says he may be best known for his portrayal of a strawberry Pop-Tart, says most actors are barely eking out a living. Now, he says, the ad agencies want to stop paying performers each time one of their commercials airs on network TV and maintain flat fees for cable commercials. That would mean a 45% pay cut for him, he says.
I have done probably 200 commercials in the last 14 years, and I would rather dig ditches than accept the conditions that they are proposing to us right now. I would rather never do another commercial, because what they are proposing is starvation wages.
With the advent of cable 10 years ago, Bays says, actors agreed to flat fees for commercials because employers said they didn't know if the medium would make money. But now that it has, he says he and others are demanding to be paid each time a cable commercial airs. And they want the use of those commercials monitored so they don't lose money that's supposed to go into their pockets. And they want to be paid for internet commercials, too. William Daniels is the president of the Screen Actors Guild.
And we are here today to tell the advertisers that it's time we receive our fair share of the corporate profits and astronomical CEO salaries that our performances in commercials make possible.
This week, the actors have taken their case to the advertising agencies, with picket lines in Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, and other cities. In Los Angeles, actors say they shut down a Sears commercial. And in Portland, Oregon, golfer Tiger Woods threw his support behind the strike by refusing to show up for a shoot. What's happening to the commercial actors isn't too different from what's happening to their better paid and better known counterparts in TV programs and movies. Consolidation of huge media companies means performers' work may appear on different channels and in more than one medium, earning dollars for the company each time. But Michael Mahern of the Writers Guild says writers and performers are still paid under the old formulas. And that's likely to be a big issue when their contracts expire over the next year, he says.
What's going to be necessary in this negotiation and in the negotiations next year with the studios and the television networks is to have a full reconciliation of the new economic realities and the residual structures, both for actors and for writers.
But the ad agencies contend that paying an actor per appearance is an obsolete practice now that the same commercial must appear on dozens of channels in order for their clients to get the message out. Their offer at the bargaining table represents about a 5% raise for the actors, they say. And the agencies vow to continue to produce commercials overseas if necessary during the strike. It may be a tough fight. Other unions, like the Teamsters, are pledging to honor picket lines, and the actors vowed to disrupt non-union commercial production.